Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us, and happy Wednesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, this hour is for you, ladies and gentlemen. I've got an amazing friend of the show, an expert on our legal system, our partisan divide, our political processes, and yes, the C word, corruption. He's Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Howard Schwaber. Welcome back to the program, Howard.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you back. Folks, if you've got a question for Howard or I, you want to call out what your favorite corruption scandal might be and get our reactions to it, the phone and text lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's start with one, Howard, that is literally in the news today. And this is a fascinating one to me because the idea that a congressperson, whether on the Senate or House side, a president, a vice president, a head of an executive branch agency, could ever own stock, be it directly or in an indirect ownership structure like a mutual fund, where they can own stock of a company or have a business interest that is subject to the jurisdiction of that particular elected official or cabinet level secretary or director or president or vice president seems insane to me. It is a direct conflict of interest that creates all sorts of perverse incentives. And in the last 20 to 25 years, there has been case after case after case, Democrats and Republicans, where congresspeople in particular, we can talk about presidents specifically, but I'm just going to focus on congresspersons right now, have seemingly traded on information available to them only by virtue of their role as an elected official. Perhaps most notably, there was a fairly significant scandal that came about in the wake of the COVID-19 global pandemic. I'm not going to get into the particulars of who is alleged to do some trading, and there's been legislation trying to address this that most ethics watchdogs thinks is woefully inadequate. It basically has very little penalty if they're ever levied. The penalties are de minimis. It's mostly a disclosure rule. It gets ignored all the time. The disclosures are often inadequate. And certain senators have been trying to do something about it. I rarely agree with Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, but he's trying to do something about it. He's brought back legislation that was voted on today by a Senate committee that has advanced out of that committee. And interestingly enough, Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson was sitting on that committee and took a vote. What Senator Hawley's, and this is bipartisan legislation, attempts to do is in fact ban direct stock ownership by members of Congress of companies that are subject to the committee jurisdiction on which congresspeople sit. It also bans direct stock ownership by presidents and vice presidents. But after this one, we'll get into a little bit of that later. But Ron Johnson can't seem to find his way to support some of what I would call the most basic conflict of interest avoidance laws like this one. Here's Ron Johnson explaining to all of us Wisconsinites why he thinks it should be okay for congresspeople to basically earn money based on their insider information from the horse's mouth itself. Let's take a listen to the senator.
We make it very unattractive for people to step up to the plate and run for office or potentially serve in office. I tried hiring a retired CFO many years ago. This is after the passage of the Stock Act. Would have been great. I could have had somebody really expert in international taxation, that type of thing. I could not find anybody willing to do it. So this piece of legislation, really, it's legislative demagoguery. You know, we do have insider trading laws. We have financial disclosure. Trust me, we have financial disclosure. The press pays attention to it. So I don't see the necessity of this. I can imagine all kinds of unintended consequences. You could relabel this law, quite honestly, the Career Politician Protection Act, because it'll make it so unattractive for people to give up their business, sell it, unless some ethics committee says, oh, no, there won't be a conflict of interest. I mean, when we pass a tax law that lowers tax rates, we all benefit. It's just an inherent issue. So again, we have plenty of protections. We have the disclosure. This is a completely unnecessary piece of legislation. It's going to create all kinds of unintended consequences. Senator Scott just pointed out one of them, just one of them. So again, I voted no last time. I'm a strong no this time, even stronger this time.
Oh, I have my thoughts, but Professor, I'll give it to you for the first shots at that comment from Ron Johnson.
While I respect the senator's concerns, imagine if a general in the Air Force who were in charge of approving contracts for new jets owned stock in Lockheed. That is a made-up example. I don't mean to disparage either Lockheed or any general in the Air Force. I think there's sort of three levels to this. At a deep philosophical level, Johnson and others seem not to think that there's a difference between being a private business CEO and being a member of Congress or of the Senate. That public and private are indistinguishable, and that the ethics involved are indistinguishable, and the obligations are indistinguishable. I think it's insane and unwholesome, but if I had to give a name to what's gone wrong in American politics in the last 20 years, that would be a pretty good start, honestly. At a slightly more less philosophical, more concrete level, it is absurd to suggest this law that he is opposing doesn't go nearly far enough.
Right.
I can't own stock if the stock is regulated by my committee, but if I'm on that committee, I can share information with another senator who can then buy the stock. I do not understand why there is not. I'm sorry. Cynically, I do. It would seem to me highly desirable that all members of Congress put all of their assets in a blind trust upon taking office. And the third piece, that we can't attract people. I mean, this is his big complaint. We'll never get people to serve in Congress if they can't get rich doing so, is disturbing. I spent some time in Pakistan, and one of the most interesting conversations, I had a lot of interesting conversations in Pakistan, but one of them had to do with people serving in the military. And the people, just the folks I was talking to, were shocked when I explained to them that in the United States, being in a senior military position is not the obvious way to amass great wealth. They assume that anyone who's a senior military officer becomes very, very rich by doing so. I think there's an analogy here. And there are lots of places in the world where serving in Congress is a way to get really, really rich. We've never really wanted to think about the United States as one of them, let alone, you know, based on what is either illegal or borderline illegal practices. Final comment before I give you back the mic. You were exactly right when you said this is bipartisan. This cuts across both parties. It's gone on for decades. It's gotten much worse, I think, in the last 20 years or so. And it's long, we are long overdue for some house cleaning. And if I can borrow a phrase, it's time to drain the swamp a little.
Yes, it's, we'll get into the use of that phrase and its impacts and the way that it gets interpreted or misinterpreted in many ways. But this to me is as simple as if you hold elected office at the federal level, or you are a cabinet secretary, or you basically have contracting authority that is at a certain level, should be pretty basic. You cannot own individual stocks. Those that you do and wish to continue to own must be in a blind trust, and you cannot sell them while you have that seat. In other words, you have to hold the stocks until you leave office. The idea that banning conflicts of interest or banning the abuse, the leverage that is given to Congress people because of their access to information to enrich themselves, that advantages incumbents and would prevent otherwise qualified people from running for Congress is so absurd and stupid on its face that it need not be rebutted. The problem with incumbency is the two-party system and a whole bunch of other things and campaign finance issues. This idea that qualified people will refuse to serve if they can't get rich doing so should be so offensive to regular Americans, I continue to be amazed at what Ron Johnson gets away with saying. Frankly, because he says it with a whole heck of a lot of derision, I think, and certitude. But memo, Ron, being in government is not supposed to make you rich. It shouldn't impoverish you, like the opposite shouldn't be true. But this idea that you must be entitled to some level of enrichment is simply beyond the pale. This is, again, one of those things, doesn't matter who polls, when they poll, or whom they poll, Americans understand that if you are a person in Congress and you have committee jurisdiction and you shouldn't be able to enrich yourself based on that inside information or share it or leak it in any other way, and that transparency rules alone don't get it done. You need to ban the practice, and it should extend, of course, to the president and vice president. We've got Jack from Merrimack on the line. Jack, say hello to Howard. What's your question or comment, sir?
Well, yeah, okay. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Jack.
My comment is, don't say that in an airport.
That's the old Dick Gregory joke.
My comment is that I've read that there's something like between $3 and $4 trillion of so-called unrealized but very real income that it remains untaxed. And of course, the argument will be, well, it's completely legal. Yeah. The question is, I'm paying taxes on my income. Should that be legal to hide anywhere near that kind of money? Second thing is, I've also read that there's something close to $200 billion annually in income taxes, mostly from the very rich, that goes uncollected. And something should be probably be done about that. So those are the main things. The third thing I've read is that if we tax wealth of $30 million and above at a progressive rate starting at 2% and hitting 5% at a billion, we could raise something between $1 and $2 trillion annually, and we wouldn't run out of money because there are all constantly people that would be going into those categories.
Jack, I'm going to have to hop in. We're going to save those questions. Two basic subjects in Jack's question. The tax code is deeply unfair because it leaves untaxed the wealth of the mega, mega, mega rich, the folks with names on their buildings. And second of all, does that indicate that we've got system-wide corruption that is pernicious and difficult to eradicate? We continue this discussion with Professor Howard Schwaber on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.